We've come together in part today to pray for and be aware and to express our care for Christians, for brothers and sisters around the world. I believe that it's so important for us as Christians to love the church, to love the ecclesia. I don't mean we love a building. I don't mean we love a denomination. I don't mean we love a place. I mean that we love God's people. Jesus loved the church and gave itself up for it, to wash it, to make it holy. And we as God's people are called to be one, to be a body of Christ, to be united, to know how important each of the members of the body are. And so I want to say this morning how important it is, your theology of the church, your theology of what you believe about your brothers and sisters around the world, your brothers and sisters across the street, your brothers and sisters that are worshiping in a building somewhere else or in somebody's home. Your theology of the church is very important, and Christ called us to love the church. Today we're focusing especially on the persecuted church around the world and the awareness of our brothers and sisters in different nations and different languages and different people groups, all kinds of different cultures and ways that people worship and traditions that they have to honor God and seek God. But all around the world are God's demonstration of the church in different places. And we're called to love the church, and we're called to pray for the church and to pray for one another. And you and I both know that around the world there are many Christians who are suffering because of their faith. There are people who, because they profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are suffering or have suffered, or people in their family have suffered. And so today I want to bring attention to the plight of the church in some places around the world and just ask you to consider to come alongside them as we'll look at a scripture in the book of Hebrews and care about Christians around the world and be aware of them and give our heart to pray for people around the world. Today is a day that many Christians are challenged to think about and especially pray for this need. This is the International Day of Prayer. We haven't always chosen that Sunday when we've highlighted the church around the world, but this time I decided to on this Sunday. And today there are many churches around the world that are praying for other Christians and focusing together. I don't think it really matters which day you particularly focus on that. What's important is our hearts are in tune with and aware of and praying for our brothers and sisters around the world. We might not often think about the spotlight of persecution. We live in a country that we have much to be thankful for. I know it's easy to articulate all the things that we don't like about our country and we know need to be changed, but we also have a whole lot to be grateful for and thankful for. We may not see and hear and understand what's going on in places around the world. Many people, believers, live their lives under the darkness of oppression, under the darkness of hatred and violence, and people that live their entire lives running from or being threatened by those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His authority. And so today I'd like for us to spend a few minutes first to hear, to learn, and then to ask God, what can we do about justice and righteousness, and to pray for persecuted Christians around the world. Persecution is not new to our day. When we think about persecution through the history of the church, we realize that every generation of the church has had persecution in different places, at different times, different generations, different religious forces, different political and military dynamics, but there has been persecution against Christians ever since Jesus walked the earth. Jesus told us that there would be persecution for the genuine church. It's not as if the persecution has caught Jesus off guard. He told his disciples even before he went to the cross that there would be persecution for those that would genuinely take up their cross and follow him. He warned his disciples. He told them that if they were to follow him, that they should expect that there would be persecution. Jesus warned us. Jesus told us. Jesus let his disciples know that there would be persecution. If anything, we should be surprised when there's not persecution. And we maybe should ask different questions when there's not persecution with what is going on around the world. Jesus said, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. He warned them. He said, I am sending you out. The call is to go. The call is to tell people the gospel. The call is that you will go to people that are difficult to go to. You're to go to your friends, but you're also to go to your enemies. And Jesus said, when you do, you know that you will face opposition. But he also promised his presence in the midst of persecution. And many different ways he told his followers that I will be with you. I will send the Holy Spirit. The Father will send the Holy Spirit to comfort you and guide you and be with you. And he gave that great promise to his disciples. I will never leave you or forsake you. And no matter what goes on in life, in a Christian's life, God promises to be there, and he is. There's incredible stories around the world of the presence of Jesus in the lives of people that are persecuted and many that are martyred because of their faith. Somehow God knows about the persecution and God uses the persecution, and the witness of the church is strong. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I mean, there is evil out there. We know that. There is the enemy of our soul, Satan, who wants to destroy body and soul. He has come to destroy. And we know that. He's present. He's working. And for a time, God is allowing him to exist here. But God says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so whenever we hear persecution, if we experience persecution or we know a persecution, we know to keep our eyes on Jesus, because he's already aware of that. He knows the hurt. He knows the suffering. He knows the trials. The book of James talks about the trials that Christians may go through. The Apostle Paul talked about the trials that he had and others had of serving Jesus. The truth is, persecution and a difficult road is what we are to expect. We're not to expect that Jesus takes us away from the possibility of persecution, but Jesus will be with us in the midst of persecution. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He is watching over his church. He is aware of his church. He is aware of every situation in every country. He is aware of what Christians are dealing with and going through. Even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 spoke of the persecution. If you want to read these three verses and look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, in this case the words are going to be on the screen, but I want to invite you to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, again reminding us that he knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen in every generation. He said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The truth is, Jesus told us that we should expect persecution. He knew that it was going to happen. He was preparing the disciples. He is preparing the church. And today he has something to say to us about how we view and how we support those that are being persecuted. Jesus is warning the church, but Jesus is also encouraging the church that we know that he already knows what is going on, knowing that they will face opposition. And Jesus calls the church, he calls you and me and those that are being persecuted to remain strong and hold on to your faith and know what faith is. Know what it is to believe so deeply that the circumstances of life cannot knock you off the pedestal of faith. I believe that Jesus and other writers in the Bible tell us, and they want our faith to be so strong and so real that there's not a single thing that the enemy can do in the circumstances of our life to cause us to not to believe in God, not to believe in Jesus. He calls us to faithfulness. He calls you and I to faithfulness. We don't face the persecution. Maybe there's some here that have, that other people do, but we face every day the decision of whether we hold on to who Jesus is and we hold on to faith, or we allow the circumstances in our lives to draw us away from trust and believing God. The book of Hebrews says that without faith it is impossible to please God. You must believe that He is, the verse says, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Believing that God exists, believing that God will work in the lives of His people is what faith is. And God calls every one of us to that. We might think, well, we don't have the act of persecution. We don't have to worry about it. But, you know, even more so, we may be weaker because we don't have that constant pressure. You know, the constant pressure, that wind that blows constantly prepares that tree to be strong in the greater storms. And in some ways, we ought to be aware of that. And we realize that sometimes our faith is rooted in our circumstances. Just if things happen to us that we're not expecting and we don't want, health problems, relationship problems, financial problems, job problems, if we're not careful, our faith is rooted in that security. And if that's taken away, then we seem to say, well, where's God? God's not here. God didn't protect me from that. The reality is, Jesus said that all of us will have tribulation in life. But in the midst of that tribulation, He said that He will be there. He calls us to a remaining strong faith. Jesus also says in this passage in Matthew chapter 5, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus somehow makes a promise to those that have a faith that endures. Theirs is the kingdom of God. He says you will not be detached from what is good and what's right and what is eternal. God is preparing the kingdom for those that are faithful and hold on to Him. There are many other words in the Bible about enduring persecution and the church being strong in the midst of that. Hebrews chapter 10 is a beautiful passage. Look at that with me. The word for that will be on the screen too. Hebrews chapter 10 says, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those who were in prison. I want you to pay attention, if you would, especially to the words that are underlined. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. And that's what we can do in the church. We can stand side by side with those who are going through difficult times, and we can support them and we can pray for them. And we can be an instrument of help and strength and encouragement in their lives. It is good to stand side by side with those who are being persecuted. How do we do that? First of all, by being aware of their need. Learn what's going on. There are resources out there that will help you to see the bigger picture of what's going on in the church today, to hear the challenges as well as the victories. Be aware of your brothers and your sisters. Take time to hear, and then you'll know how to pray. It'll remind you to pray. It'll urge you to pray when you know what's going on in the lives of the church and the body of Christ and brothers and sisters around the world. I'm going to take about 5 minutes and describe some of the things that are going on in the church around the world today. There are thought to be about 60 countries that have active persecution today. I've read this through resources that Voice of the Martyrs for One, Open Door Ministry, another. About 60 countries today that are thought where Christians are actively persecuted. Most of them, I've read about 85% are in areas of extreme Islamic teaching. About 85%. We, of course, think of terrorism today mostly in terms of extremism, and about 85% of the countries where there is persecution today takes place in these Islamic extreme areas. Here are 10 countries that I've listed. I could have listed 60, but I just listed 10 countries that I've read about in the last week about what's going on in those countries. They may give you a country to pray for. Maybe God would lay it on your heart to choose a country and pray for that, both today and in the days ahead, and maybe to learn more about that. But here are 10 countries of others that I would encourage you to pray for. North Korea is considered to be the country that has the most persecution today, with active prison camps and executions and torture and And if you're interested in knowing really what's going on, you can find out, you can read resources about that. Each of these countries that are listed, you can find information. Iraq, the second one, I'll just mention a little bit about that. About 15 years ago, Iraq had about 1.5 million Christians in the country, it was thought. And today there are about 300,000 because many of them have been killed. They've been displaced. They've been driven out of the country. Iraq is a country to pray for. Each of these, in Syria, 3.5 million Christian refugees who are displaced, and some have left the country and some are displaced within the country. But, you know, that's a staggering number, 3.5 million. I mean, I forget that. I read that. I heard that 8 months ago. But the plight of the Syrian people, pray for Syria, Iran, India. I was reading in India how the Hindi nationalism has just kind of taken off in the last 3 years, and the number of beatings of Christian pastors and in churches, and the burning of churches in India has increased significantly in the last couple of years. Some of you know I have a very special friend, Vinay, in India, and his area is a hotbed for this Hindi nationalism, and he deals with that, and people in his church deal with that, and it's real. It's more real to me because I've been there, and I've had an opportunity to see what Vinay deals with from week to week, and other countries, Pakistan, the laws about blasphemy and mob rule in Pakistan, in the Sudan, to be found with a Bible as immediate execution, and there are Christians who are distributing Bibles in the Sudan, and they know that if they're caught, they will be killed. And we know Nazarenes who have been in that category, and many have given their lives believing that God called them to go and evangelize in Sudan, even though they knew the risks and they knew what can happen. Sudan is a very scary place. Nigeria, the northern part of Nigeria, Boko Haram, we've read the stories of the kidnapping and church burnings at the same time we've read of the growth of the church in northern Nigeria. So many times where the persecution is strong, the church also is reaching out to new people and seeing people come to faith. And we pray for that. We pray for Nigeria. We pray for all these countries. Most of them are in that Islamic world, not all of them. Colombia and South America, I've read, the drug cartels are so corrupt and so pervasive into every part of society that any church that speaks out against the drug cartel, oftentimes the pastors are beaten, people are arrested, churches are burned. Colombia has become a country in South America with much persecution. There are so many worlds to pray for, so many countries. I just want to challenge you to consider maybe take a country and listen and pray for them. We're going to watch a 5-minute video about one example of one family in one area that is a very strong story. We're going to listen to that, and then I'm going to call you to pray today. Shall we watch this video together?
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Received this calling from the Lord, but the Lord has got a purpose for us as a family to live out our love for Him, our love for the Afghans, to serve. And here we are. God, take our lives and make with us whatever you find pleasant and good in your purpose. So it was a normal day for us, and Vanya just went to the office, and he was teaching that morning. Actually, that was the routine every day. And for the children, if they didn't have a weekend or didn't interact with their friends, they were doing schoolwork. Both of them have got a deep walk with the Lord, and there's this hunger for the Lord. That's very precious. And they are growing. They are growing in their faith day by day. And it's wonderful to be their mom and experience how they are growing and living their lives for the Lord in a place like Afghanistan. Most wonderful thing that a parent can do for his child is to bring him up in the Lord's way so that he knows who his Creator is and that he can have a loving relationship with the Lord and live a life for that purpose. I've asked myself many times in the past, Lord, is this really where you want us? Because of all the difficulties, the challenges, we can lose our lives anytime for the Lord. When I look at that in the spiritual realm, I know that he will not take us to a place like Afghanistan and just dump us there, and he doesn't have a plan and a purpose with that. So I know 100% that we are in the right place, that we are obedient to the calling.
Lord, please help us.
I would tell my children, Jean-Pierre and Rudy, you will face a very difficult day today, and I'm not going to be there to help you, and Daddy is also not going to be there to help you, but Jesus is going to be there to help you through this, and he will be there. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. I believe they are in front of the Lord's throne, worshiping him, praising him, glorifying him. And that they are just waiting for me to finish the race as well.
What can we do? We can stand side by side and we can pray. And prayer makes a difference. How should we pray? The question has been asked that of many times people are suffering. How do you want us to pray? I know I asked Vinay that. And the standard answer from people who are persecuted is don't pray that we won't be persecuted. Pray that we will stand strong. And the witness will be real. So when you're praying for persecuted people, pray that they'll be delivered from persecution if God would allow them not to go through it. But also pray for them because Jesus said some will go through it and they will be persecuted. So pray that God would help those that are persecuted to stand strong. Some other things that we are asked to pray for about persecuted people, pray that Bibles will be delivered in areas of the world where they're not allowed. Pray that television and radio and internet resources can get through to nations and cultures and people. Here's a list of things to pray for. Number one, that God will strengthen us to stand strong for radio, TV, and internet pathways so the gospel will continue to go out in dark places, in places of great darkness. The deliveries of Bibles. Pray for grieving families. Pray for those grieving families who have lost family members that they would feel the comfort of God and the presence of God and the help of God. Pray for the conversion of government officials in countries and places where Christianity is not allowed. Go to that next one, would you please, Crystal? Pray for the conversion of children. I've read the prayer request of many people who are giving all or giving much in order to serve Christ. They say, pray that the children will hear, because when the children hear and their hearts are tender, God will change them. And pray for those that persecute. Jesus called us to pray for our enemies. Would you stand with me? Debbie, would you come and play? I'm going to invite you this morning just to pray for the next few minutes for the church. I've listed several countries, and maybe God would just allow you to take a few minutes this morning and pray for that country. You may know nothing about that country, or maybe you've known someone, or you've had a contact, or there's been somebody in your life that you can relate to, that culture, that language, that people group, that ethnicity. And God would give you the opportunity today to pray. But let's pray for the church. I don't know how many people are here today, 175 or so. But could we have those that are believers today just want to invite you, if you're able to give the next few minutes to pray for the church around the world. And I'm going to have a few minutes of quiet prayer, and then I'm going to lead a prayer. And then after that, you're dismissed to go. I forgot to mention ushers. Could we have one usher just lay an offering plate at each door? If you want to give to the Voice of the Martyr ministry, it's a ministry that we receive resources from and try to disseminate that to our church family. If you'd like to support that ministry, and we'll just have offering plates at each of the doors. Ushers, could you help me take care of that? And if you want to give, if anybody puts anything in those plates, it will go to the Voice of the Martyrs ministry. We'll be sure to collect that and send that to them if you're able to and want to do that today. Let's pray together quietly, and then I'll lead us in prayer.